John and Raheel with Dell on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John and Raheel with Dell.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. You know what that music means? It means that Chase is listening. I know that. Maybe Wayne? We got Wayne listening? Those are big. And oh, by the way, they brought him the chopped beef sandwiches, and so all was good. Saw Dana's reaction. He's with us. We got Dana with us here on ESPN 97.5 talking about West Virginia head coach joining us right here. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. What's going on, Dana?
Oh, nothing much. How you guys doing?
Man, we're doing great. We're doing great. I'm looking at a video here. One of your players is getting engaged or something. What's going on there?
Yeah, there's still some romance in the world, I guess. You know, Reese is a West Virginia kid. He met this young lady from Texas. I think she might be Houston. I'm not sure. I know she's Texas.
Nice.
She came up here to go to school, and he arranged this whole thing. He came in about a month ago. He said, I want to do this for Kansas. I go, well, why Kansas? He goes, it just works out. That's when her parents can come up. I said, okay, that's cool, but you can call it off if we don't win. We're not going to have any kind of a marriage proposal after a loss. So he said, I'll make sure the team wins. I was like, well, any bit of extra motivation it takes to win a Big 12 game, I'm all about it. So once we won and signed Country Roads, then one of his best friends, Zeke Rose, one of our D linemen, kind of directed the players to midfield, and he was there with his girlfriend and her parents, and she didn't even know they were coming in. That was pretty cool. So it all worked out, you know, and then we came into the locker room, and I had him lead us in Hail West Virginia, and we wrapped up another Big 12 win.
Neat. What if she'd have said no? That would have been totally sweet.
Well, that's why all the players were surrounding him. There's no way she was getting out of there alive.
Yeah. That's a yeah.
That would have been the ultimate. Oh my God! How bad you feel
all
for
this,
that? Dude.
We flew the parents in. We got the win.
Yeah.
She came up here to break up with you this weekend.
Yeah.
There's no way she says no. So I mean, he's a big old ugly football player, and she's cute. So. He had to kind of trick her into saying yes. There's no way that was going to end up saying her saying no. So he ended up doing what he had to get the yes.
Yeah, that was my biggest fear is when I proposed to my wife, I did in a very private place.
Yeah,
because if
case.
She said no, then it's like, well, I'm just leaving.
Yeah, and
you walk home.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
No, right?
Right. He did it where everybody that would have been horrific. And you guys just got out of there. You said after the game it was an ugly win, but you'll take it. Go home.
Yeah, I mean, that happens. You know as well as I do, you're not going to play your best all the time. I thought we played really good defensively.
Mm-hmm.
We were at, you know, every statistic was a winning performance no matter who you play. You know, and offensively, we moved the ball good. We had the ball 12 times, scored on 6 of them, got into the red zone 3 more times, and just we didn't do a very good job of running the football in the red zone, which, you know, puts you in passing situations down there, which we got full confidence in Will Greer, obviously, but there was some tight windows, and, you know, he made a few mistakes, which is uncharacteristic of him. I mean, he ends the day at 27 to 40 for 340 and 4 touchdowns. It's just the three hiccups in the red zone. You know, and if you score 9 points in those situations right there, then the game's a whole different game. So it's something that we can learn from, but by no means do I think anything's broke.
Yeah, and with Will, that first interception when he was throwing to Sills, you know, the defender just made a really good play. And then I believe you ran the same route in the fourth quarter, and he gets that. Was that something you guys wanted to work on and clear up in that game?
Yeah, you're 100% right, and you know, it just Will made a mistake, and the receiver made a mistake. You know, everybody points the finger at the quarterback when interceptions are thrown, and at times that's 100% accurate. But you know, there's a protection problem in one of those situations, which forced the awkward throw And then receivers on two of the other ones, receivers got to do a better job of fighting for the ball or making sure that nobody catches it. I mean, they got to turn into defenders at times too. So some really good learning things that we can teach off of, and you know they just it didn't go our way on a couple of those different series, but 38-22 could have been a lot worse than that. Everybody understands that, but we'll take the win and move on.
I know you were busy. The Texans this week had all kinds of problems in the red zone, and Bill O'Brien had addressed that yesterday, and you just addressed in the red zone. He said, "Hey, listen, unless you're in the business, you don't get how difficult it is in the red zone." Talk about running the football, Dana, and how different it is, how much tougher it is, and especially with the Texans. In the Texans' case, they don't have a dominant offensive line that can just bully people. So how do you run the ball when that defensive line is maybe, you know, just as good as your offensive line is,
or better, and there may be more of them out there at that time too. I mean, we chart, you know, I chart red zone touchdowns, and everybody charts red zone percentages, and we've done a really good job of scoring touchdowns. And I mean, 17 of our 23 times in the red zone, I believe, have been touchdowns. So, you know, and then the ones that we didn't, you know, we've kicked a couple of field goals. It only takes a few field goals to make the difference in a win or a loss. But the field just gets condensed, and, you know, they put more people in the box. They don't have to have deep safeties when there's no space back there. So, everything gets condensed. There's more people stopping the run. It becomes one-on-one matchups in the pass game, which is why corners get paid a whole lot of money in the NFL. And when you got a guy like Will and David, I mean, David Sills has caught more red zone touchdown passes than anybody I've ever had. Just didn't do a great job of it this week, you know. And I don't think you just forget how to do things right and over the course of 1 week. We just got to get back and go out and practice it a little bit more and focus more on it moving forward.
You know, and a lot of his problems came on slants. People fall so in love with the fade route in the red zone. Where are you? It just seems like it's unsuccessful so often.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think about the fade as opposed to, you know, maybe some slants or whatever in the red zone?
Yeah, it's because there's so little space down there, it's a hard pass to complete. I remember going to, and we've done it for years at Tech. I mean, we threw the ball all the time, and you know, had guys that could execute the fade route. And then when you set up the fade route and they take that away, then you run slant routes. Michael Crabtree was the best slant runner I've ever been a part of because he was so strong. He could muscle you and body you and get your hands out there and snatch it out of the air. I went to Oklahoma State. We threw a fade to Blackman in game one, and Gundy went nuts. He's like, you can't do that. And I'm like, well, why? We just scored, you know. And so we had that discussion how low percentage that pass is, which I agree, unless you have the connection like Whedon and Blackman had. And then it's a high percentage pass. We're fortunate here now. The percentage of the fade route with Will Greer and David Sills is about 90%. So we're going to continue to do it. And the only way you take it away is just play outside leverage, which opens up the slant route, which we've been able to complete that as well. So we've been successful with it. I'm not worried about it. We got to do a better job of executing it. And it starts with running the ball. Because those interceptions that we threw were because it wasn't one-on-one matchup. We got to do a better job of getting all those bodies in the ball if we got thrown.
Yeah, the run game was also, as you mentioned, in the red zone you can improve, but overall the run game was pretty good. Is it just a matter of who's hot that day with those three running backs, or is there a plan you go in a certain game that this guy's going to be a better use here? How do you balance that with three studs?
Well, we get our starter back in Alex Sinkfield. That's going to help. You know, he's been out since game one. So we're excited about getting him back. He brings juice. He's got more speed than any of them. But you're right. It's about who has the hot hand, who stays healthy, how they're pass protecting, I think, and then who's a little bit better in the open field, who's better in the pass game, who's a little better on the goal line. We're going to need all of them. And you know, that position, bodies go down. And when bodies go down, you need fresh guys to go in there and play. And we got a good rotation going on right now.
So, as with Chad, so I got to watch a lot of the Iowa State game against Oklahoma State. They played a pretty good game. They struggled some, but that looks like a team that's coming to get Purdy. Looks pretty good right now.
Yeah, I missed the call from Chad last night at like 2. I'm sure he wanted to talk about Oklahoma State, Iowa State.
Sure.
Well, I studied it all day yesterday. It was an exciting game, back and forth. I watched the second half at my house after our game, but studied it all yesterday. And Iowa State played well. That freshman quarterback came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I mean, Purdy or something like that. But he was true freshman out of Arizona. He played lights out. He was accurate can be. You know, he ran all over the place. They had quarterback run game. And Iowa State doesn't have a whole lot of quarterback run game. They're not going to run Kyle Kemp around, you know. And then they put this guy in, and they got all kinds of designed quarterback run games. So it makes it hard for us. I know that. We got to prepare for him, not only pass game-wise, but quarterback run game-wise. I hear Kemp's coming back, which is a different type quarterback, old veteran, sixth-year guy, doesn't run very good, but is an accurate passer. We got to prepare for both of them, but I'm glad it didn't sneak up on us like it did Oklahoma State.
Chad Clay, regional scout, I like it. He's, hey, watch this game.
Hey, Dana.
Hey.
Yeah, watch out. They can throw it.
Yeah, that's right.
He's filing his scouting reports at 2
Thanks,
in the morning.
Chad.
Thanks, Chad.
All right, well, we'll let you go. We appreciate it. That's going to be a good game. It's never easy going there. You know that as well as anybody.
I grew up there, so I have a bunch of family members there around there. But Saturday night in Ames is not the easiest place to play. But it's Big 12 football, and we're looking forward to it. Excited about the Astros too. Couldn't get any work done yesterday because I was watching that. They took care of business, huh?
Yeah, that was fun. We went to Cleveland, saw Zoe. Went there. Good. Went to the game. Yep, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Moving on. All right, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for hanging. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. Damaris Barbecue on 18th Street and 610. They got the bar there. You can watch all. And by the way, that's where the West Virginia people go and watch their games on Saturdays, if you're looking. It's also Texas A&M bar, because the Damarises all went to Texas A&M. So they love their Aggies there. You can watch your Longhorns. You can watch all your games. And your Sunday, they got the Sunday ticket as well. So they got everything right there at Damaris Barbecue, 18th Street. And, of course, the one on Shepherd, just north of West Alabama. So if you're looking for a place to go get your game on and your barbecue on, get to Damaris Barbecue. 1013 ESPN 97.5. We want to talk a little rugby.
Yeah, we got a big combine coming up, so we'll bring in my buddy, Sam.
Find out how you can get on the team.
My buddy Sam Windsor's going to be here, and we'll talk to him.
I should have worn my jersey.
No,
I got my jersey.
Busy loving up the Cleveland Browns to support.
Well, he's Browns. One of the Browns now.
Yeah. You know what Sam is saying? I think he could play. I think he...
You?
Yeah. Yeah.
As he did challenge Manny. Did you see that?
To a Hold throwing on, real quick. Contest.
Yeah. Manny? You became Twitter throwing contest guy.
Stop. Manny. Did you see what Manny said? Hey, John, you're out. Nice throw. Out of this. Did you see the kid out of the stands throwing the ball?
Yeah.
That was embarrassing.
Yeah.
But he put that on me? On me?
I guess you look like
on me?
And you challenged him.
You challenged him.
Stop. Stop, Manny.
Okay. From what I've been told, Manny was a really good baseball player. That's what I've been told by Manny.
By Manny?
Well, who else would have told me?
Manny's interpretation
who
of Manny?
Who else would have told me?
Okay. All right. All right. Let's bring Sam in next right here. Don't go anywhere.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com.